Hey podcasters, Claire, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, Kimber gives something a crack from her drawers.
Ooh. Will you be catching up with the ex for Christmas?
We chat to Jimmy Barnes.
We chat to Wildcat skipper Damian Martin.
So rock royalty, basketball royalty.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. And we drop number three in Matt's Hits From Your Hood for 2018.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
Testing.
Oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Hi, it's Fitz with ShamWow.
This is a great product.
Kimber has a crack.
It is that segment in which Kimbo tries services, products, and all kinds of things.
Things.
Because she's been teasing us with some kind of electric device all morning.
Is it a razor?
Is it a toothbrush?
Is it a massager?
For personal use only.
Is it a small summer fan? What is it? And basically gives it a crack. You know, how many cracks out of five at the end of the segment?
Well, I give you an honest review.
Yeah.
If something's rubbish, I'll tell you it's rubbish. Don't waste your money.
Yeah.
But this is a good crack just in time for Christmas and just in time for summer.
Mm. Okay.
I was gifted this from a dear friend for my birthday last month. Uh-huh. And having tried it, I decided it's going to be a great crack. So while normally I would do a video or a bit of audio of my experience, I'd already used it, so it's too late.
Okay.
No worries.
Okay.
I'd love to show you photos. I'd love to show you personal videos. I simply can't.
You didn't want to fake it till you made it.
No. So I had a crack at this.
What is that?
It's not a special from Kimber's second drawer.
No. Okay.
It's not one of those. Yep. It is a Scholl Velvet Smooth Express Pedi.
Ah,
right.
Okay.
Now.
Okay. So your friend got you that because she's all Kimber's always had hard feet.
Oh, yeah, because I've got feet like a hobbit.
Like
and
Fred
she knows
Flintstone.
It. No.
Yeah.
You know what? Even if you've got lovely feet, your feet get rubbish throughout the year.
Right.
You do need to take care of them. You do need to exfoliate. And you don't want to get your feet looking hard. You know, there's nothing worse than putting on a nice strappy sandal for summer having like cracked or gross skin.
I hear that,
sure.
Okay. And so it's not just for the women. It's for the men too. You've got to look after your feet. And if you're going to rub your feet against someone else's skin, you want them to be smooth.
Okay. Yes. All right.
Okay. Now, you might have seen these. I have literally walked past these in the store so many times and thought to myself, I want to buy that. I want it.
Okay.
But I didn't know if it was worth it. So now I can tell you it is.
Okay. They look pretty cool too.
Yeah. It's a battery-operated roller with a sort of a coarse sandpaper roller on the top. And basically, they call them diamond crystals.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Straight from South Africa.
It's sandpaper.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You know? But you just run it over the dry bits of your feet.
Yep.
And you use it dry. You don't use it in the shower or anything like that. Yeah, well, no, you can't put it on your foot, though.
Oh, okay.
Well, because otherwise we'd be sharing foot germs. Sorry,
I didn't mean to break your flow. I seriously wanted to have a crack.
I know. I mean, I would, but this is my personal one that I plan on using on my feet again, which, you know, we'll just be sharing too many dead foot cells.
Okay,
right.
But so you use it dry, and you don't push down on it because that stops the roller.
Oh,
I realize.
Okay.
You've got to be quite light.
Right.
And you just let the roller do its own job. And it just buffs the scales off your hooves.
Okay.
Right.
It just takes them off gently. So, you know, if you've been going to get a pedicure and they've been rubbing at your feet with the cheese grater and it can be quite painful and quite, this just rolls over gently.
Some of that advice can go for you with your new whippersnapper when you're doing the
laundry.
Exactly.
Lawn
mat. Don't push too hard.
Don't push too hard.
No. And they sell them with different rollers so you can cater to how hard your feet are.
Oh.
So, if you
what did you go with?
Well, this one is the Diamond Crystal Express Pedi, the Velvet Smooth.
Okay.
So they do a different number of varieties. They're made by Scholl, S-C-H-O-L-L.
Yeah, we've seen the ads.
Yeah.
And I used it for seconds, like not, you don't have to use it for very long. A couple of minutes to do both feet, and they feel really great. And I go, it's cheaper than a pedicure, and I did it faster than it would take you to get in the car to drive to your appointment.
Right,
you know. So now,
well done.
The price is worth it too. I don't know how long a roller lasts because you've got you can replace the rollers, right? So when they get a bit scabby, get a new one.
Yeah.
I don't know how long the roller lasts, but this one that I currently have, this whole unit, is on sale at Shaver Shop right now for $29.99.
Yes.
Now, I reckon $30 is a good investment. I only needed it to use it for a little bit, and it already did one coat, and I'm telling you, my feet are smooth.
Well, I noticed you're wearing boots this morning. I wanted to have a little
look. Oh, you can't touch them.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah, if I'd had my sandals on, you could touch them. Sorry.
Is this cheaper than going to the place where they get the fish to chew the bits of skin off?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because if you go
but
to those...
But the fish miss out on a feed.
They do.
So,
so
I mean,
cruel,
there's winners and losers in all
these
things.
You care about Nemo?
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm saying right now it's on sale for, $29. They do go up to $50 elsewhere, so you might have to shop around, and it it does depend, I think, on how coarse the roller is, on how much you pay.
Of course.
But I say it's a good little gift, a good little stocking stuffer, or one for yourself or for a family member. I reckon it's a good buy.
Yeah.
So I'm giving this one 4 cracks.
Wow.
4 cracks.
That's highly recommended.
In time for summer and in case you've thought about it but you didn't want to spend the money, yeah. I reckon it's worth it. So there you go.
Because it works.
The Scholl Velvet Smooth with Diamond Crystals Express Petty. That's a catchy name.
Yeah, and it feels good in the hand.
It feels, nice. It does. It's actually, they sell that. They say it's got an ergonomic grip.
It certainly
And it kind of does. You can feel it. Here, go nuts.
No, we're not sharing germs.
Kim, but what would you say, like before you gave Matt the big don't argue or the big no deal, what would you say if when you went to the bathroom or wherever you went before that I actually took my shoes off and had a crack with your thing because I didn't realize it was something we couldn't do.
You did not.
What would you say if I said that?
You did not. I mean, like, then you're keeping it. You're keeping it. I'm going to go buy my own roller.
Actually, no, I didn't.
No, honestly, give them a go. 4 cracks for me on that one.
Nice one.
Yeah, very nice. Well done. Kimber has a crack.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
You know, life's a really weird thing. Sometimes it just lands you in really strange places.
It does.
And on the weekend, on Sunday, I was in a really great but a strange place where I sat down at lunch, a really sweet family lunch.
Oh, nice.
For my boy Sam's 21st birthday celebration.
I can't believe he's 21.
Yeah, you know, Sam turning 21, my girl's turning 18 in a month. So it was just one of those things. It was just a group of family members there. So I sat down next to my wife, Laurie, and my ex-wife, Suzanne, on the other side. It's just a really weird thing, but it was a great lunch. You know, it was very cool, and we're all chatting, and we toasted Sam, and Suze was too emotional to make a speech, so I stirred her about making a speech. So I made a very quick speech, and Sam just said, I just want to thank everybody, because it was a really, really cool day. But I was sitting there going, it's just so bizarre, all this history one way and the other, and stories about the past and about, you know, the present and thinking about the future and stuff like that. But it was one of those moments in life. You sit there and go, yeah, pretty lucky dude sitting here. And the boy turning 21, it felt like yesterday that I was calling him silly nicknames and throwing him in the pool, doing bombies on him.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff.
And so fortunate that you have the type of relationship with your ex where you can all get together and have a family lunch and it's all okay.
It was funny because she did sit next to me because Laurie's on one side and she did sit down. She goes, oh, I'll just move over and give you, I don't want to cramp your style. She moved about 3 inches that way.
And makes you realize how many chapters make up a life.
True.
You know, and I'm so fortunate that, you know, with my partner and her little girl, her dad and I get on really well.
Yeah.
That's awesome because, you know, it can be difficult.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend just recently and she was saying, my parents hate each other.
Oh,
they simply cannot get along. And she's like, that affects my life in terms of, you know, if I want to get married or like you can't even get them in the same room. They hate each other.
Yeah.
It's you know, funny, and you go, that makes it so tough.
That's really awful, isn't it? And so any of those celebrations, you just, someone misses out. It's normally the kids miss out. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there at lunch and got towards the end of lunch on the weekend and I thought, I'm about 5 ex-wives short of Rod Stewart because he gets on with all of his exes, which is so bizarre.
Oh, Rod. And you know what would be great, and maybe we can put it out to the callers, is I'd love to know if there was a situation like a family gathering, a Christmas or a wedding, where, you know, exes came together who were a bit bitter towards each other and maybe that night something shifted.
Yeah, right.
And they were able to then carry on in a more sort of amicable way.
Well, in this time of year, there's going to be lots of people who are spending Christmas with an ex. And I guess it's a matter of whether that's a good thing or a bad thing for you. You know, some people that's like, oh, we're best friends. We all get along great. My husband's now friends with him or whatever it is.
Or we sit on opposite sides of the table and don't speak.
There's a lot of weddings where that happens.
Yeah,
that
sure. Kind of thing.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Caught up with, it was my boy's 21st birthday celebration on the weekend and went to lunch at a local pub and had my wife on one side and my ex-wife on the other side. And we just had a really cool chat and a good celebration of the boys' 21
Look
years.
Look at you, Hugh Hefner.
Good on you.
And we think lots of people will be spending Christmas with the ex either because you're friends with them or because you have to.
Yep.
We weren't in a grotto.
No. Don't know if it's a good or bad thing. Tanya is in Naranda. Tanya, will you be spending Christmas time with the ex?
Not me, but my parents. They never used to get along, when they first split up, and that kind of made things very awkward when it came to my wedding.
Right.
But then they would both turn up at our house at the same time, which would be extremely awkward.
Yes.
But then they started talking to each other, and from there it just kind of grew.
Right.
And now they have dinner all the time. My dad comes over to Christmas dinner with my mum every year. And last year, my dad actually took my mum away with him on holidays.
There you go.
Yeah, he had someone to travel with.
That's really nice.
Time heals.
Platonic relationship with your ex. There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. And now they're thinking about doing it again. Away on another holiday.
How lovely for them to find that respect for one another again. Doesn't have to be love. It can just, that's that level of respect. That's cool.
Mm.
Thanks, Tanya.
Thanks, Tanya. And you do, you know, even in your own relationships, if you don't have kids, you were with someone and you loved each other. And I know it can be, you know, full of bitterness when you break up, but you've got to remember that there was that person you adored at one point.
Yeah, you were together for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to Byford. G'day, Paul.
G'day, mate. Okay. It's actually Clarkson.
Oh, is it?
Clarkson. Oh, well, we'll still talk to you anyway. How's that?
It doesn't matter where you're from, mate. You're welcome on this show.
That's a big extremity. How you going?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Fair way away from Byford. Mate, just want to know, you spend time with the ex?
I do, mate. Very, very often. There's a big age gap between us, but we've spent some great years together. However, fraught with issues because of the age difference.
Yeah. Right.
And we've, over the years, had a lot of issues because of family members, etc. But we've always remained really good friends. And I was there last night, actually, having dinner at my bestie's place, and we still travel together. We go to Hong Kong fairly often. We spent a year in China together teaching. We had an absolute ball, and, you know, I vie for her time. So she's a good sort, and I'd trust her with anything. She's my bestie.
That's incredible. And, Paul, do you think, in a way, your relationship is better now that it doesn't have the pressure of being in a relationship?
Yeah, tenfold. It's definitely better. I mean, people are still around us and they think, oh, what's going on there? But, you know, you can't prevent that.
No.
We are like peas in a pod. It's good. I mean, we're worlds apart in many ways, but, you know, we love each other's company. It's great.
Great result.
That's cool.
Very good,
and
Paul.
Of course, Paul, you can always say, no, I'm Paul from Byford.
That was funny. I love it.
Rick's in Wellard, or maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Rick, will you be spending Christmas time with the ex?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, thanks. Mate.
Pretty much same as the lady before. It's my parents. Mm. 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer.
Yes.
And at the Christmas time, we didn't know if it was going to be my last Christmas or not.
Wow.
And my father came over with his girlfriend.
Right.
And my mum actually put them up in the house.
Oh, great.
And then my sister came over, who came in the house as well. And then my two little brothers came over, because they're all from the UK.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my two little brothers came over, and even my mum's kids. And we all stayed in the same house for like 4 weeks, all the way over Christmas.
Wow.
All the way over New Year. And had a ball. Had a really good time, you know. And they kind of just put everything aside just for one good cause kind of thing, you know.
So, well, those things put things in perspective, don't they?
Absolutely,
when you've got to deal with something like that. How's your health now, Rick?
Yes, we are. Yep, champion.
Good
great.
Man.
Good to hear.
Man.
Hey, love it. They're all eggnogging together still.
Yes.
Merry Christmas, buddy, to you and your family. Well done.
Thank you. You too.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Coming back to Perth, he's playing the Red Hot Summer Tour Sunday, January 13 with a stellar lineup. We're talking about Sandalford Winery. Ticketek.com.au. This guy is on his way. Don't know if it's too early to say Merry Christmas. Jimmy Barnes.
Jimmy, guys, how we doing?
Good, mate.
Jim. Very well. Jimmy, I am running out of Jimmy Barnes stuff to give to my sister-in-law as presents. Could you just whip up a quick Christmas album for us, please?
I've got an album that's going to come out just after Christmas, if that's any good to you. I've got a new album called, it's going to be called My Criminal Record.
Oh, okay. Nice title.
Yeah, right title.
It's a good rock and roll record, too. It's really great. Running up with a bunch of songs with Don Walker, Troy Cassett Daly, Chris Taney, a whole bunch of things. So it's a great record.
Oh, Barnsley, it's been an extraordinary few years for you. You've done everything, but I think it might be time for a fragrance. Working class man.
What would it be?
Well, I don't know.
Working class man is a great title for a fragrance.
Working class.
Or maybe four walls, wash basin, prison bed.
Yeah. Well, there you go. What does that smell like? I don't know. I don't know what that would smell like.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to be a president.
Sorry. Oh, okay.
We'll think it's up now.
Hey, Jimmy, congratulations on the ARIA last week, mate. And it was one of those kind of nights. You've been inducted into that ARIA Hall of Fame twice with Chisel and as Jimmy Barnes solo. But Casey Chambers, there was not a dry eye in the house, was there?
Mate, it was a nice thing, you know. You know, that was sort of the cap off all that, the last couple of years, you know, the couple of books and the film. It was, you know, it was like sort of rounded it all off nicely. And so, you know, just sort of put a stamp on it, and I say, okay, put it to bed and move forward. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So it's great, and I think that whole process was very liberating. Anyway, you know, I just feel like I've had a big blockage taken out of the way, and I feel ready to get into music again.
Well, Jimmy, you have been everywhere this year, book signings, stage shows about your life, the AFL Grand Final performance. Now, it's probably great for you to get back on the stage and rock out with these guys, but this gig, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, The Living End, Diesel, Richard Clapton, you would have seen all of them live before, wouldn't you?
I haven't seen Joan Jett. Joan Jett's never played in Australia, and I didn't see her in America, but I am a fan. You know, she's one of these girls who's got a great pedigree, you know, great career, you know, behind her, great catalog of songs, and I've got mates who have worked with her in America and said that she's really fantastic, so we're really looking forward, and I think it's exciting that she's going to be, it's her first tour here, so she'll be really chuffed to be here, plus, you know, she's sandwiched in between, you know, Living End and myself, so she's going to be working really hard. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great bill. I think she's going to be fabulous.
And Barnsley.
And of course Diesel. Diesel.
Oh yeah,
I love Diesel.
Family.
You know him fairly well. Yeah.
And, mate, this is our last week on air, although we do come back and do a Christmas show on Christmas Day. But how do you spend Christmas these days?
It depends. You know, this is my family, myself, and all my grandkids. We're all going to the south of France.
Beautiful.
Where we used to live. Where we used to with our friends and have a sort of a cold northern hemisphere Christmas.
Oh, beautiful.
have a bit of fun. And, you know, it's sort of like, you know, because we've all worked so hard for the last 18 months or so, I thought it was really nice to go there and cut loose and have a great time.
Oh, yeah, good on you, Jim. Congrats again on the ARIA last week. And au revoir. Have a great Chrissy, bud.
We will. All the best to you guys. Take it easy.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Can't afford to make mistakes.
No.
Talking basketball with Damian Martin from the Perth Wildcats.
Anyone who called, we appreciate your contact. Well done. Look, all 4,000. Wildcats captain Damian Martin set to play his first game since October, coming back from injury and going to play his old mate, little Andrew Bogut. G'day, Damo. How are you, mate?
I'm good. I'm just at the Novotel in Sydney, directly across from ANZ Stadium, where obviously the Olympics were. So it's not a bad spot to wake up to.
Beautiful.
Damo, back to the game. So what do you do? Have you got any superstitions or anything that you roll out to really, you know, play your best game?
I'm not sure if it leads to me playing my best game, but I do have some corny little superstitions I have right before tip-off. I do these little jumps back and forth, side to side, scissor jumps. So once I step foot on the court, you'll see me doing those. And then hopefully it leads to me dunking on Andrew Bogut. So we'll see how we go.
Hey! Well, Damo. I mean, Trevor Gleeson is in the paper today talking about the strengths of this wonderful player, Andrew Bogut. He says he's not only a fabulous player, he's huge, he's got a great basketball IQ, 5 assists per game, and his impact around the rim, which sounds frightening. How are you going to stop him?
Now you put it like that, I'm glad you're not doing the scouting report.
God, Trev, why don't you marry him?
Yeah, exactly. Look, he's a fantastic player, and you know he's averaging about 3 blocks a game, which is just unprecedented. I think it's been about 20 years since a player's done that. So, look, he's having a great season so far. So, yeah, 7 foot, one of the best defenders in the world. A huge reason why the Golden State Warriors won an NBA championship. And now he's here in Sydney and doing it against the NBL players. So we'll obviously have him as a focal point, but in particular trying to get him away from the basket. So hopefully we can get a few layups instead of trying to shoot it over a 7 foot player.
Well, I've done the math, mate. Between you've got $80 million. That's not bad.
I can tell you how much I don't add to that. That's not much at all, that's for sure.
Hey, mate, how is the... it's a calf, right? The problem has kept you out for so long?
Yeah, it was a calf injury, and we looked at the schedule and we only had a few games initially, single games each weekend, but the boys kept winning and the calf wasn't quite healing as quickly as I would have liked, and it's worked out totally fine. So, you know, the guys have been amazing. We've had an interesting season with so many injuries. At one stage, we had 3 starters on the sideline and still managed to get some wins. And, and then last weekend to go into the game without our superstar and MVP Bryce Cotton and to get another win against New Zealand was amazing. So we'll be tested against a full-strength Sydney Kings outfit tomorrow. And I can actually see Kudos Bank Arena where we're playing them tomorrow night, and I can't help but get excited. I feel like a little kid playing my rookie season, and it feels like it's been ages since I last played, and can't wait to get out there and face off against Bogut, who we've spoken about already. He, he and Brad Newley were teammates as 17-year-olds. We all lived together in Canberra, and then obviously Kevin Lish, who you know, won a championship in Perth. So there's a lot of familiar faces and friends on the opposition team, but once we step foot over there, I can't wait to try and beat them up.
Damo, our producer Tom has asked us who we want to send Christmas cards to, you know, friends of our show, of The Big Breakfast. Of course, you'll be receiving one. We said that it's not enough for Damo. We need to give him a present. What's the present that we get you? What's really going to make your year?
Oh, what's going to make my year? Oh, if there's some way you can give me someone that could teach my daughter to sleep through the night, that would be greatly appreciated.
A few nights at Ingala.
Yeah, just in time for baby number two. And if it works, right, I'm already asking for next year's Christmas present early. I'm going to see baby number two. But no, look, everything's going pretty well. I can't complain. So a card will suffice. I say that now, but secretly, if you do want to send over a night to someone to teach my daughter to sleep, that'd be great.
No, that's right, because Kimber's been saying for weeks she gets way too much sleep. So she's offering her services to come and rock the little one to sleep.
Oh, I know you want to get my hopes up. Thanks for this, Kimber.
She's super cute. I'll look after Maggie.
Hey,
well,
mate.
You say that now until between the hours of about midnight. And so, yeah.
Hey, we'll see you next year, buddy. You have a wonderful Christmas with your family, and go get them.
Yeah, you too, guys. Merry Christmas.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
We gave it away. Auburn, Cannington, Melfin, Girraween, Joondalup, Eastvik Park, the places between.
Home is where the heart is and that's all good. Let me tell you all about it, Matt. Tits from your hood. All right, number three on the countdown. This was done for my beautiful Scarborough. And, you know, obviously I had to do it. It had to be an anthem for me personally.
It did, yeah.
Oh, it's where you live. You've been there for a few years and you've loved it.
Adore it. So I got together with Sam Robert Smith, the wonderful baritone from the Australian Opera.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Sam, we need to sing about my scarves.
This was before the change, Contatio getting knocked down.
Yeah,
it was in the corner there.
It was in the good days, mate.
And everybody voted for the best hits from your hood this year. Yeah. And Scarborough's made number three.
Grab your favorite bathers, put sunscreen on your face, turn off the telly, time to tan that belly, don't miss this chance.
For a coffee or have a drink or two at rendezvous,
just in your eating beer nuts, watch the sunset at
Let's walk the boardwalk.
Skate parks, cool old school.
How good's the new pool? It's great the Chinese want to build. Will we still want to boast when we're another gold coast?
Oh, no, shopping malls here,
white sands and shark fin,
and scar.
It was the epic of the year, wasn't it? The Bravo. Epic Matt's Hits for Your Hood from Scarborough. Sorry, mate, if I mentioned Contatio getting knocked down.
That's
when you mentioned
all right.
The Chinese do want to build and we have to move on sometimes.
We do. And I was just thinking then people in the car that didn't catch the beginning of that turning on going, what the bloody hell's going on with Mix?
What's happened to Mix? Right. Actually, Clezzy and I...
Put on BB Rexy, you bastard.
Clezzy and I both just laughed, though, when he came in, when Sam Robert-Smith came in with the line, Scoot Parks. It was so good.
I was tempted to come on at the end and go, this is ABC FM. Yeah. That was Love that song, Noosa Dua, mate. Well done.
Oh, excellent. So number two tomorrow.
Yes.
And
great.
Of course, Friday, a new one.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Woo! Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist.
Twist.
She's a really good news reader, but here's what Belinda missed.
Now, we in Australia, particularly in Western Australia.
Yeah, mate.
Don't really know much about a kind of life with snow.
No. And Thank goodness, though.
Yeah, well, look.
It's kind of hard work.
Because you've lived in Canada.
Yeah.
And is it hard work?
It is hard work because snow seems fun when you're playing in the snow. It's not fun when you're trying to walk to work and you're landing on your bum every 5 minutes and it's dirty and it's slush and it's had cars driving over. It's gross.
And you got to dig your car out half the time.
Yeah, and you got it's gross, right. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's it. I'm not going to tell the story.
The story's done.
I mean, how great is snow, right?
It does sound like it could be a lot of fun.
Man, everyone has a snow day but us.
Yes, Severance in Colorado. They had a law which banned the throwing of all missiles.
Oh.
And that includes snowballs.
Snowballs? Okay. It's the only fun in the snow.
Well, that's right. And, you
I'm
know,
snowman.
That no doubt Severance is a lot like Kimber was just describing. You can't throw snowballs and you've got to wade through the slush. But enter 9-year-old Dane Best.
Mm-hmm.
Dane's gone, this isn't right. Right? So he's gone to his local town meeting and said, I want to overturn the law.
Love it.
So that we can be, the children of Severance want the opportunity to have a snowball fight like the rest of the world.
Yep.
Anyway, it was agreed. And Mayor Don McLeod went outside after the ruling and joined Best and his little brother, 4-year-old Dax, to throw the first ever legal snowballs in the town's history.
Oh, that's cute.
Isn't that a cute story?
That's very cool. That's like Kevin Bacon in Footloose protesting when they weren't allowed to dance.
It's exactly like that.
Yeah.
So well done, Dane. And just a follow-up to a story we did the other day about it was a Dutch guy called Emil Ratleban, who's 69.
Oh, yep.
Who wanted his name, his age legally changed to 49.
Yeah, he was finding trouble picking up women on Tinder or love sites and also with employment because he said, I feel 49 and if I'm 69, I've got less opportunities.
So he got knocked back, didn't he?
Well, he did get knocked back. He claimed that, he didn't feel 69 and that his request to change his age legally was consistent with other forms of personal transformation, i.e. The ability to change one name's or gender. But the court disagreed, saying that laws related to age-based facets of life such as voting would become meaningless.
Oh, wow. Wrap up to that story.
Do you know he said that if they'd approved it and they'd said he was 49, he said, I was going to go and buy a new car and I was going to start a new life. And I was going to... You can still do that, dude.
Yeah.
You can still do all those things.
Well, there you go. I feel that was quite a comprehensive Belinda Mist, wasn't it?
That bloke could go to Severance and throw snowballs and act like he's 9. Yeah. Take 60 years
You're
off.
The weaver.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire's Matt and Kimber.
On the morning after our little Christmas lunch we had for the team here at work yesterday.
Yes.
The Christmas lunch was a lot of fun.
It was lovely, wasn't it?
It was bring a plate.
It was bring a plate, and I feel like, again, when you bring a plate, everyone overdoes the food.
Yes.
You know?
True. And it was a weird blend of food.
Someone
used their imagination by bringing just some boxes of KFC chicken. I saw one.
Yeah.
I'm on Matthew hoeing into that at one stage.
I did enjoy my zinger.
Yeah, you got into it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But a lot of sweets.
Yeah, there were.
In previous years, people have brought more, foodie.
A bit more savoury stuff.
Yeah. So I just found myself smashing, Dan the Internut's brownies.
Oh, right.
I must have had 6 of them.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also sweets because lots of people who don't cook, brought things like shortbread and things you could buy at the store.
Actually,
easily.
One person who will remain unnamed because he's a good friend of ours, almost giving it away by saying him, bought a giant thing of shortbread and looked, as he put it down the table, looked at me and went, I don't cook.
Yes.
Mate, I appreciate your effort.
There was enough for like 10 pieces per person.
It was superb. And I'd like to thank Tim Lawden for bringing that amazing lot of treats, and the caramel slice was incredible.
Oh, yes.
Did you get into that?
I did. Oh. And that cheesy dip.
Yeah. Oh,
what the hell was that?
Yeah, Emily's artichoke dip that was amazing. But, you know, the thing is, what was great about it is that because even though we all work together and we're a mixed family, we don't get a lot of time to spend together that's not work.
Yeah, that and we hate each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say that. Yeah.
So it was cool because we actually got a chance to sit around and be Christmassy and chat and find out what's happening in each other's lives. But my favourite bit was when the music wouldn't work. We were playing some Christmas tunes in the background.
Lovely.
And we had a little bit of a breakdown with the system.
Yep.
So we invited the engineer up to come and fix it. And so we're having this huge Christmas lunch. And it's like getting the plumber in on Christmas Day. If you could just come up and do some work in the corner there while we're all enjoying this beautiful festive meal, that would be great. It was so awkward.
Yeah.
Try and offload the shortbread onto him.
Yeah, a few of the staff members came in. They were looking a bit guilty, or those who turned up, you know, who were on pregnancy leave or whatever, and said, oh, I didn't bring a plate. Well, you've got something else on your plate. You're a little bit busy at this point in time.
Yes.
Yeah, but you're right. We had a bit of you could catch up with people and have a chat and realise that you actually hated them in their real life as well, away from work.
And Pete Carelli brought his homemade olives, and I didn't have the wine, but the homemade wine.
Well,
olives were beautiful.
Yeah. The homemade wine came in this big carafe.
It's still on my desk.
Is that bottle 100 years old?
And well, the lid had an X on it, and I was like, isn't that how you mark dangerous goods?
Yes,
like, I thought
is.
X is kind of the don't drink this sign.
Stole it from a pirate ship, I think.
It did look like it came from a pirate ship.
Yeah. Captain Paul, did you hoe in yesterday, mate?
I hoed in.
Yeah.
Big time.
What did you bring? What did you cook?
I cooked some sushi.
Oh, that's what, the woolly sushi, yeah.
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 Well
done, mate. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clazzy, Matt and Kimber.
Silverchair were a phenomenon, weren't they, in Australian rock circles?
Yes.
You know, they were just 15, 16 when they started out, coming out of Newcastle. They rocked.
Yeah.
Well and truly on the back of the grunge scene. Some incredible music that we can sort of relive at any time. And as time went on...
That voice, and yet you look at his face in that clip and he's just a little boy.
Daniel Johns.
Kid.
Yeah.
There were so many obvious comparisons to Kurt Cobain, let's be honest. Yeah. And then their music matured, of course.
Ah, great song.
Straight Lines was a beauty. Now, Jeff Apter is one of the most prolific writers about music in Australia that we've ever had, and we've had him on the show to talk about other guests before, but his new book is called The Book of Daniel, talking all about Silverchair and beyond for Daniel Johns, and the respected rock writer joins us this morning. Jeff Apter, good morning, mate, and welcome.
Thank you very much. Great to be back on the show.
Jeff, you've been a music biographer for some time. How do you gain the trust of these artists? Is your previous work with names like John Farnham and Keith Urban, the Bee Gees, is that enough to kind of get you through, or does it take a while to create an energy together?
Yeah, it certainly helps. I mean, I waver between doing, you know, ghostwriting with people, co-writing with people, and also doing some I hate the term unauthorized. I like unofficial, because unauthorized immediately makes me think of all these people who write really nasty bios about the royal family.
It's true.
And I'm not that guy. So quite often, and this is a good example. I mean, I've done lots of work with Daniel Johns and Silverchair for a number of years. So I had all this great material to use for this book. But when it came to this specific work, he didn't want to talk. So, but I think that's not really indicative of a relationship with me. I think it's more he just doesn't like talking.
Fair enough.
You know, generally speaking, I live in hope that the work that I've done over the last 20-odd years has created some kind of reputation for me that stands me in pretty good stead.
Jeff, you know, doing research to speak to you, of course, we went back and looked at stuff and seeing that clip for Tomorrow, the first sort of song that broke Silverchair to most of us. And we really have seen the evolution of a true artist in the true sense of the word over many years, haven't we?
I agree wholeheartedly. And you know, that was one of my big motivations for writing this book, is to kind of track one of the more unusual evolutions, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
If you look at all his peers, particularly in Australia, they're either their bands have broken up, or they're doing, you know, 20th anniversary tours, or they're taking a record from their back catalogue and playing it live, you know, those kind of things, which are all perfectly valid. They're all perfectly fine ways. Hey, man's got to eat, right?
Yeah,
of course.
But, with Daniel Johns, it's completely different. It's every new thing that he does is totally different from what came before. And, you know, I won't say that I love everything he does unconditionally. I think the last thing that he's done called Dreams is almost too out there. it's a bit of a tough listen. But I really admire and respect the fact that he said, that's what I want to do next, and that's where I'm going to go. And, hey, if you want to come with me, fantastic. If not, that's okay. You know, I might see you further down the line.
There's a gentleman called Steele from this part of the world who's quite out there too, can't he?
Absolutely.
They've worked together.
And, you know, the funny thing with that project is Luke's probably a bigger star now internationally than Daniel through Empire of the Sun.
True.
So, you know, things have changed for them and their relationship too.
Mate, through those periods when, you know, there were times where a lot of people, there was genuine concern in the public and amongst music fans and the like with the eating disorder and the like with Daniel, and there was that concern there. But would he see it that way? We see it as an invasion of privacy. What kind of guy is he?
I kind of have a rule of thumb. If people talk about it in interviews and also write about it in their music, I think it's fair game's not really what I wanted to say, but it is it's up there for discussion.
Mm.
And Daniel has certainly never been reluctant to invest a lot of his own life into his music. That record, Neon Ballroom, I think really documented what he'd been through with his eating disorder and more recent stuff. I think you will get snippets of personal life there. And in interviews, when he does do interviews, he's very forthcoming. So you know, those kind of things, that's the kind of line I take. And I think that's fair. And I think I'm sure he would be the first to agree that, hey, if I sing about it and I talk about it, you can certainly write about it.
Mate, one thing that lingers is the music. There's so much great music if you really get into deeper than just rock stomp.
It's astounding, isn't it, to listen to Tomorrow and then cast forward really only 20 years, which in the a career musician is like half a lifetime, I guess, and listen to what he's doing now. It's so radically different.
Mm. I remember when I first heard Diorama and I was so excited by it. I just thought it was so bold.
Yeah, it's a remarkable record.
Hey, Jeff, we appreciate your work, mate, and thanks very much for the chat. All the best.
Thanks, guys. That's great. It's good to talk again.
Yeah, writer Jeff Apter, the wonderful new book is called The Book of Daniel, all about Silverchair and beyond for Daniel Johns.
Yeah.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Think quick. This is Mix 94.5's Pressure Test.
Wildcat skipper Damien Martin on the way within 10 minutes and Barnsley after 8 o'clock. In the meantime, in Scarborough. G'day, Joel. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Joel. We're going to give you a category and a time limit for this pressure test, and you just need to give us the correct answers. For each one, you're going to get $10, but if you get all of them, $250 is yours for Christmas.
No worries, let's do it.
Okay, buddy. Now, we're putting, what are we putting on the clock?
Ten seconds
on the clock, so it's a quick one, mate. So deep breath, and your time will start once I give you the category. Joel, we need you to list or name four counties in England. Go.
Yorkshire, four counties in England. Nah, got nothing.
No! Oh, Joel.
The Yorkshiremen and women will be very happy.
It was a great start.
It was.
I thought, here we go.
But also not a particularly easy one if you don't know your counties in England.
True, yeah. County cricket, Buckinghamshire.
But I don't know about that, but definitely Lancashire.
Yep.
You know, Leicestershire, Nottinghamshire.
I'm cheating, I'm going from a list.
Yeah, just Kent, Essex. But good on you, mate. You gave it a crack. $10.
Thank you.
And we never have to speak of it again.
Thanks, Joel.
Thanks, Joel. Have a great day.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Zy, Matt and Kimber. The juice.
Oh, you tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Bit of a different juice this week because some would say I've wasted a lot of hours watching TV this year. I say it's all been fantastic.
As long as it's good quality stuff, who cares?
Well, there's some hit and misses in there, you know. I mean, I only recommend the good ones to you guys.
I do stir you about watching a lot of TV, but I am envious as well.
Yeah.
Mate, no mistake.
I must just have more time on my hands. But I have seen some great shows, and so I thought, well, I'll give you the list of the ones that I think have been the best. So if you get a bit of chance over the holidays or over the Christmas period, you can check out a show without wasting too much time.
Okay. Yesterday we had Safe.
Yeah, Safe was my first recommendation, which is a bit more of a kind of a mystery sort of drama.
Sure.
Does that mean today we have Dangerous?
Today you don't get dangerous. Today you get comedy, drama, fantasy.
Oh, hello.
Ooh, a combo. Aww. New genre?
Bit of everything. Now, this is a show that launched in 2016, but I've watched the whole season or the whole series this year.
Okay.
It's called The Good Place.
Okay.
It's a comedy, drama, fantasy starring Kristen Bell and Ted Danson. They'd be the best kind of the actors that you'd know from it.
Yep.
And I found it really clever. And it's sort of hard to talk about this one because it comes with an automatic spoiler. Right. I can't tell you what, you know, I want to tell you what the show is about, but it seems like a spoiler, but you've just got to go with me. They're in the afterlife.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. So all of them in the star that are starring in it, it's all about the afterlife. And Kristen Bell's character, Eleanor, has died and she's ended up in the contemporary version of heaven. And so that's why it's called The Good Place.
Okay.
It's the good place that you go to when good people die.
Okay.
And here's a little taster.
You, Eleanor Shellstrop, are dead.
Cool.
You're okay, Eleanor. You're in the good place.
There's been a big mistake. I'm not supposed to be here.
Wait, what?
Somebody royally forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
That's bullshit. I can't risk going to the bad place. I can only play you a brief audio clip of what is happening there right now. Well, it doesn't sound awesome.
Now, the first step, I've got to say, is a little weird because it reeks of an American TV series pilot that's trying to be picked up.
Okay. Right.
So, you know, the jokes are a little bit hard and fast.
Yeah.
The characters say too many cool things that you think no one would say that in the moment.
A bit too hard?
A little bit too hard. Okay. It's still funny and it's still interesting, but I implore you to go past the first step because even though I enjoyed it, it definitely reeks of that like TV pilot vibe.
Yeah. I want to see it already after hearing that.
Yeah, that was great.
It's actually really funny and it's really clever and it gets smarter as it goes along. So it's got three seasons and it gets better and better. And the episodes are also a really easy, digestible 22 minutes in length.
Perfect.
So when you just want to smash out a really quick show and you think, oh, I could, you know, I've got 30 minutes till I go to bed, but I don't know, can't be bothered investing in something.
Right.
This is a super easy show to watch. Totally worth it. 8.1 on IMDb, which I've mentioned is my sort of, it's a decent mark
gauge,
because, they judge quite tough on IMDb, the Internet Movie Database.
Yep.
So, yeah, check this one out. It is called The Good Place and a good recommendation.
Are we allowed to ask questions and you can just not answer them if it would be a spoiler? Is Ted Danson God?
No.
Okay. Is Morgan Freeman God?
in my real life, do I think possibly?
Okay, right.
Is there a God?
I don't know. I'm waiting to be proven wrong.
How long
I'm
have
not
you got?
Sure.
I don't just mean in the show. I mean like really.
This is a really profound juice.
I'm winging it. I don't think so. Who can say?
Before you wrap up today, have a listen to this voice.
We've lost Dewey. He's turned on us and he's feeding mom information. This is bad. We don't have any choice. We have to neutralize him. Yeah, but how? We let him overhear something we're planning. Something way across town. We make it so juicy and horrible sounding, he won't be able to resist telling mom. So she waits in the cold for 3 or 4 hours, and when nothing happens, he's lost all his credibility.
TV classic called Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, right? So I was trying to work it out.
Yeah, so Frankie Muniz, right? He was also Agent Cody Banks with Hilary Duff in 2003. He's 33 today. Little dude, Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, great.
He's an adult.
Just when I was wondering where 2018 went, it is.
Yeah, well done.
That's your daily juice.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Now, the moment you've been waiting for all morning. It's Captain Paul's joke of the day.
Yeah, two rams are butting heads trying to establish dominance.
Yes.
And anyway, the female sheep starts rubbing up against the winner. And he turns around and says, oh, sorry, not now. I've got a headache.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.